Good morning. Okay, if you put the first slide up. Anybody know what that is? What? Porcupine. Porcupine. And if you get too close to a porcupine, what happens? You will get pretty stung or stuck or whatever. Yeah. So I have a couple of questions for you this morning. The first one is this. Why have you come here? All right. That's a real deep one, isn't it? Like, you're not going to answer that in the next hour and a half. But you're not going to answer that immediately. But I want you to be thinking about why have you come here this morning? And then I want you to consider, well, how might you resemble the porcupine? How might you resemble the porcupine? So why have you come here this morning? And why might you, maybe you don't, or maybe you feel you don't, why might you resemble the porcupine? We're continuing our series looking at these pillars that of the church, and what the church looks like, and what we think the church looks like, and we're taking as our text what was read to you by Gordon there. It's from Acts 2. It's verses 42 to 47. Five incredibly powerful verses. Last week Simon told you about teaching and the value of teaching, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching, that was the first pillar. And the second pillar that we're going to be looking at is about meeting or fellowship. Teaching and the fellowship. All right, so they devoted themselves to teaching and the fellowship. And you are the fellowship. And we'll get a bit more into that in a minute, but the two questions that I asked you right at the start, should now be starting to click in when you know that you are the fellowship. I think it's really encouraging to know that all over the world this morning, indeed, depending on the time zone you're in, many have already met millions of people have met in the faith of Christ. Millions. You listen or read the wrong blogs, read the wrong news, listen to the wrong news too much, you would be forgiven for thinking that the Christian faith was under such persecution and is in such dire state that couldn't possibly be thriving. Well, I promise you that it is. Millions have met already this morning to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that brilliant? Yeah. And you sit here this morning and are part of those millions. The Christian faith remains the largest religion in the world and the fastest growing. It's growing in places you don't expect, but it's growing nonetheless. Growing fast. Facing difficulties, yes. Challenges, of course. But nevertheless, we should be sitting here confidently as part of a movement of change, which perhaps isn't affecting change as fast or in the ways in which we would like it or it could do, but nevertheless, millions have met and are meeting and will meet when they wake up in the Western Hemisphere later on. They will meet in the name of Jesus Christ. And they will praise his name, and they will sing songs, and they will pray and give thanks. You are part of all of that. So here's another thing that I need you to do. See, you're having to work very hard this morning. I need you to imagine that none of that happened. I want you to imagine a world without the church. I want you to imagine a world where the Christians don't meet. I want you to imagine a world where this building doesn't exist. We're going to celebrate 15 years of it Never mind the many, many years of worship that went on here prior to this new building. But I want you to imagine it's not here. That the beautiful parish church in Marlin isn't there. That Shankill up the road isn't there. That Moira isn't there. Dolling, that Waringstown, Donaghcloney, they're not there. Imagine a world without the church. Imagine a world where we didn't meet, but you all knew about Jesus Christ. And you got up on a Sunday morning going, well, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Where should I go? What should I do? How should I think? How should I feel? What should I say? Imagine there was no outlet for those impulses. Impulses driven by the Holy Spirit, encouraging you in your faith, but no outlet for it. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, nothing to say. Imagine a world without it all. And now think about yourselves as porcupines. And now consider the question as to why you've come here this morning. Back in September, as you know, I went across to the States and met with people from all over the world. It was an interesting thing to watch as we all arrived in Martha's Vineyard, where we were spending 3 weeks. Tough assignment. And there were people there from Africa, and there were people there from South America, and people there from the United States, and little old me from Ireland. And it was interesting to watch, because when we arrived the first day or so, the Africans all stayed together. The Western English-speaking people all stayed together. But then over time, and it didn't take long, we started to merge and to share and to experience and retell of our love of Christ together. You see, we had something in common. We had something in common, that the thing that we had in common was Jesus. And so suddenly the barriers that were apparent and some imagined in many respects, because that's true of life, started to dissipate, dissolve. And we began to talk to each other. And we began to experience Christ from what he's doing in South America, what he's doing in Uganda, and what he's doing in Tanzania, and what he's doing in Madagascar, and boy, what he's doing in Australia. And I'm trying to keep up. Well, what's he doing in Ireland? And I'm telling them as best I can. And it's beautiful, because when we come together and we have something in common, we want to share. I know, because when Simon and I walk in here in the morning, you're all... Da, 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 da. It's great, isn't it? Da, 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 da. If we recorded it, it'd be a real chatter. Now, I don't know whether you're talking about the weather or whether Liverpool are lucky in the league this year. Could be. But I'm hoping and praying you're not, that you're talking about the possibilities of this service. What you're going to give to this service. What Christ is doing in your lives. And if you come along this evening at 6:30, you'll hear from someone else who's going to tell you what Christ is doing in their lives, because we've introduced a wee slot that says to someone, well, what is Jesus doing in your life? Share it with the rest of us. Let us know. Encourage us. Be honest and open and frank with us, because we're all family. And then as we think about being family, we then think about this porcupine, and if you get too close to the porcupine, what happens? You get stung. Now, all of that sets a context, doesn't it? Sets a context. And then we introduce a lovely Greek word. Koinonia or koinonia. If there are any Greek speakers here, if my sister was here, she'd tell me I'm saying it wrong. But there you go. Koinonia, koinonia. This is the word that speaks to this part of the passage. This is the fellowship. That's you and me and the millions around the world. It's the Greek, comes from the Greek word koinos, what we have in common. What we have in common. And you know, when I arrived in Martha's Vineyard, I had absolutely nothing in common with anybody there other than that I knew for sure they all loved Jesus. But I hadn't got a clue who they were. Hadn't got a clue if they worshipped in the same way as me. Didn't know whether they were hand raisers or half hand raisers or full arm raisers. Whether they were dancers. I had no idea, nor did I actually care. But I knew for sure that they all loved Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That's a good starting point, isn't it? I mean, isn't it good to know that you come into this room today and you know that everybody in here loves Jesus Christ? Well, I hope you do. Hence the question, why have you come here? We'll come back to that in a minute. But that was my common starting point. And I'm sure you can all recall places in your lives where you've been in difficult situations and you gravitate towards the same thinking person, don't you? I mean, if I go to the Emirates, I'm not going to go to the away seating, right? And get my head kicked in by Spurs fans if we're playing them. I'm not going to do that because I'm smart and I don't like them anyway. Because I'm an Arsenal fan, all right? So we gravitate towards the ones we have something in common with. Okay? We all do that. And we've all been in those situations. You try to find like minds. So imagine, you've got up this morning, there's no church here, there's no church anywhere, and you're starving for a like mind. What would you do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Okay, so that raises some basic questions. This fellowship. With whom are we in fellowship? What do we have in common? Okay? So, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have the fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How many times in your church attendance have you said 2 Corinthians 13:14? I bet you couldn't count them. I bet you couldn't count them. So we are in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a good start. Right? That's a good start. So fellowship is Trinitarian. In meeting together, we are in the fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are present. You have come here this morning to sit together to worship Jesus Christ, and they are present. That is our fellowship. But of course, the fellowship is more, because the fellowship is also with each other. We are wholly interdependent. Those of you who did the network course will know this already about the ways in which we are dependent on one another as members of the fellowship. Because as members of the fellowship, we all bring something different to the party. And it's impossible to divorce the fellowship from the body of Christ, which of course you and I are all members of. But we're not all arms, and we're not all legs, and we're not all eyes, and we're not all ears. You know how it goes. We're all different. We're all bringing different bits of the body of Christ together in this fellowship. Therefore, we all have an interdependent, and here's a better word, responsibility to one another to actually be here. To actually be here. You know, because you're not going to send your best 15 rugby players onto the pitch with one of them missing, you start to diminish or reduce your chances of winning the game. You want all your best players on the pitch, fit and willing and able at the same time. And the church of God needs all its best players, you and me, on the pitch at the same time, meeting together, sharing in the fellowship. And of course, then there's some glue that holds this fellowship together and draws us together. That's called love. You should want to be here because you love everybody else in the room. That's a massive challenge. Because I can guarantee you don't know everybody else in the room. But we are drawn together by love, and it's this Greek love, agape. And you've heard us teach it and talk about it many, many times. Because agape isn't a taking love. It's a giving love. It's not a receiving love. It's a giving love. It's a selfless love. And this is what draws us together. And this is what draws this fellowship together. Now, at the time and in the context, this was new and exciting, and they were on fire, almost literally, when the Holy Spirit came. You know, they were on fire. They were hungry. They were eager. You can imagine the excitement. They probably couldn't wait to get up in the morning and get together and hear what these disciples had to say next. My goodness, what are they going to tell us next? This is so exciting. Make sure let's bring so-and-so and grab him and make sure they get a lift. And they made sure everybody was together. It was such an exciting time. Yet we live in extraordinarily exciting times. Yes, they're challenging. Yes, they pose us problems. Yes, they cause us disappointment. Yes, they maybe even cause us injury. Yet they are exciting times. And if we are to imagine a world without the church, well then, who's going to say something different in the midst of those exciting times? Who's going to share how we work and live and speak and relate in those exciting times? Not the newspapers, not governments, not social media, not humanist thinking. The Church of Jesus Christ has something absolutely unique to say into that, and unless its people get together and share it and talk about it and work it out and live it out, then nothing around us will really change. So these are exciting times, and that love is drawing us together. That common thinking, that common faith, that common experience, that's what's drawing us together. And it draws us together from all arts and parts, from all over the world. Now, these two words, amen and alleluia, are pretty common all over the Christian world. All right? So even when I'm sitting there with my African brothers and sisters in Martha's Vineyard, and they all speak Swahili, there's no mistaking the Amen at the end of their prayers or the Alleluia. In fact, it's wonderful because at one point, everybody's asked to pray the Lord's Prayer in their native language. And off we go, right? And it's really bad because you're kind of half listening to what everybody else, how everybody else is saying it. But when we get to the end, you know everybody's at the end because they all say, in every language, it's the same. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I've written there a tale of two soldiers, and there's a wee story from the Second World War where a German soldier or a British soldier gets caught behind enemy lines. And he's very frightened. He's only 18 and he's very frightened. And so he hides. And he hides out all night and he has a really fitful night, but he prays to the Lord. He prays to the Lord. He's a Christian. And in the morning, he looks out and it's a little bit foggy and he's near a forest. And so he creeps out and he has his gun. But he's so nervous. And the nerves take a hold of him to such an extent that he just drops his gun, falls on his knees in the middle of the forest, and begins to pray again. And as he's praying, he hears the crunch of feet on the forest floor coming towards him. And he knows it will be a German. It will be a German soldier. And he continues to pray. He can't lift his gun. He continues to pray. And as the German soldier gets closer, the German soldier drops his gun, falls on his knees. They both pray. They both finish with Amen. They both stand up, look at each other, lift their respective guns, and go in opposite directions. Because they share Jesus Christ in common. As do each and every one of us in this room and the millions around the world today. All meeting in the same way. Yet, we could reasonably ask ourselves, so what? Because we look at the state of the world and we wonder, what's really changing? So what? So what, Carl? We're all here, but nothing really seems to change. And this brings us back to our porcupines. And Chuck Swindoll, the great American preacher, he has this little theory. And he says, you and I are all porcupines. And porcupines on a cold night will all start to gravitate towards each other for shared warmth. Isn't that right? But as they get too close to one another, they start to prick one another, don't they? So they move apart again. And as it gets colder, they then start to gravitate back, and the same process happens. And questions then arise out of that as to how we are behaving as members of the fellowship towards one another. And when you look around the world at the millions and millions of people praising Jesus Christ this morning, or have already done it or will do it later, questions arise around why the church is not more united. And a lack of unity in the church can only be our fault. Can only be our fault. And one of the main reasons is because the fellowship doesn't properly talk to each other in the way in which it is envisaged here, with eagerness, with love, with anticipation, with excitement, with a single focus on the person of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We complicate it all with too many other things, or we're only there for what we can get and what rather than what we can give. And this love is agape. And Chuck Swindoll's answer is greater involvement. And you'll see in the weeks to come how this fellowship was involved with each other. And we have another Greek word, koinonikos or koinonikos, which means generous participation, involvement. Like, it's no point saying, yeah, I'm a member of Darlington Saviour's Darlingstown if you never come. We have to be involved with each other. We have to interact with each other. We have to be the body of Christ that moves each other. You know, we should be constantly dancing, really, shouldn't we? Constantly on the move. Might get very annoying. You're probably annoyed with me now. But, you know, that's what constant, we'd be always on the move. It'd be incredible. Interacting with each other, sharing with each other, being excited with each other, crying with each other, mourning with each other, being happy with each other, all focused on the person of Jesus Christ, being generous with each other. What, perhaps, then, would be the result? We'd serve. Church would have greater integrity. Church would be active. Church would be missionally focused and demonstrably so. Church would love. And those who are watching, and I promise you, millions more are watching. The whole church would see that love and witness. This fellowship is vital in the small part that it plays in the growing and increasing and beautiful fellowship of the wider church. It's as important there as it is in this community. We must do our part. Why? Because you love Jesus and you love each other. Why did you come here this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a beautiful God. We pray that you would speak into our lives, that you would pour your love into our hearts. Lord, we pray that we would want to be generous, participative, and involved in this fellowship, recognizing our place in the wider fellowship, promoting the unity in the person of Jesus Christ, living lives worthy of what happened at the cross, seeing our world change because of your love that we live and exude in our lives. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.